off and running. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, we had a little bit of rain last night and yesterday, further greening everything up in anticipation of St. Patrick's Day tomorrow.
Indeed.
Wearing the green coming up in about 24 hours. Well, at least on our show, the Buckmaster Show, on this Thursday. It's March 16th, 2023. Our program in its 13th year in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from KVOI.com. Our telephone live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We will begin on the live line. Dr. Dave Wells is the research director for the Grand Canyon Institute, a nonprofit organization which is a centrist think tank led by a bipartisan group of former state lawmakers, economists, community leaders, and academics. The Grand Canyon Institute serves as an independent voice reflecting a pragmatic approach to addressing economic, fiscal, budgetary, and taxation issues confronting Arizona. Dr. Wells, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. Glad to be on your show.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this legislative session. It seems like the lawmakers are spending a lot of time on pieces of legislation that will just be destined for a veto from the Democratic governor, Governor Hobbs. What's your take on the session so far?
Yeah, that seems to be the case. So, I mean, there's a lot of culture war bills. Governor Hobbs already vetoed a critical race theory bill, and there's bills about banning books and things like that. And we've been tracking some of the unemployment related bills that will be destined for likely a veto if they get that far. But the legislature is also going to be referring things to the ballot because some of the items that the governor would veto, they're going to send to the voters directly. And that way they'll see if they have a chance to get it into law that way.
What would some of those items be potentially, Dave?
So a couple of them. So one is SCR, which is a Senate continuing concurrent resolution. So these pass if they pass in the Senate and the House, they can also have House concurrent resolutions that go the other way around. Then they go directly to the voters. They bypass it. So one of them is 1035, and that is a bill that essentially takes what's it's called the skinny budget. You may have recalled that the legislature passed a skinny budget at the very beginning of the session that the governor vetoed, but that essentially is the legally sort of the minimalist kind of budget that the state can have. Essentially takes what the revenue projections are from if it's higher than the skinny budget, then it would take half that money and would send it back to taxpayers. But it would send it back based off of reducing the income tax rate. And what that means is effectively, if your income is over $5 million, that if for every $100 million sent back, you get a check for about $6,000. If your income is about $40,000 to $50,000, you'll get a check for about $16. So it's a very regressive format of it. And that just has to pass the House. And if it passes the House, then it will be sent on to voters. So that's one. Another one that we're monitoring is SCR 1033. So the Constitution has sort of this weird thing in it. It limits state borrowing to $350,000, is a ludicrous kind of small amount of money, but back in 1912 was a decent amount of money. So suddenly the state does ways to sort of bypass that when they have to borrow money. Usually, sometimes we've done that for school funding, but we've also during a crisis had to lease out state buildings in order to bring in revenues and so forth. So this would actually make that $350,000 sort of binding on all state borrowing and essentially stop it. And has the potential, given that the Silicon Valley Bank just collapsed and the Federal Reserve sort of jumped in to prevent a broader bank failure, that this would sort of tie the state's hands in the context of being able to borrow. And we're estimating that if that $350,000 was actually put into the context of today's economy, that that amount would be at least $7 billion. So anyway, so that's something that we're also concerned about, because we think that would hurt the state's flexibility in being able to deal with things in the future.
Well, it looks like, Dave Wells, that the Republican lawmakers have a workaround. The workaround Governor Hobbs and the veto stamp by this effort to send some of this legislation on to the voters. Typically, how do they do those measures that are legislative generated? My feeling, or my guess would be, they don't traditionally do well on the ballot, the legislative measures.
Yeah, they have a sort of mixed record. So last time around, you may recall that they did send a number of measures to the ballot. Some of them passed. So one of them, which is a requirement that future citizens initiatives like Prop 208, which voters passed to help education in 2018 or 2020, that the Supreme Court of Arizona then overturned because it violated the aggregate expenditure limit. Anyway, that would now require 60% of the vote to pass. So that one passed. But generally, yeah, they do fairly poorly on some of these things. But a lot of the concerns is that some of these things are fairly complicated and becomes a challenge to help voters understand it, especially if they end up having a really long ballot, which is sort of the concern that that some folks have, is that we may end up having a number of things that are referred way higher than what's been in the past. Usually, they refer maybe 3 to 6 kind of things to the ballot, and we're thinking that this time around it could be much higher than that.
How about linking the duration of unemployment benefits to the unemployment rate? You have you put out a news release on this last month. Did that Senate Bill 1167 move forward?
Yes, yeah, so it's passed the Senate and it's now in the House. It was supposed to be in the Commerce Committee this week and it got held, which may mean they don't have enough votes for it yet. Currently people in Arizona qualify for either 24 or 26 weeks of unemployment, depending on the unemployment rate. And because we're currently under 5%, the amount of weeks is now 24 weeks. And 2 years ago, we were involved with an effort to increase the unemployment benefits to $320 a week maximum, up from $240. And the amount of money people could earn before they lost benefits from $30 to $160. So those are really good improvements. But this particular bill would dramatically, essentially cut in half the amount of weeks that people would be eligible for. And it would cause a lot of problems because only about 1 in 6 people are currently getting unemployment insurance. Because to qualify for unemployment insurance, you have to lose a job through no fault of your own. So the quit rates that we hear about and so forth, those folks generally don't qualify for unemployment insurance. So these are folks then have to find jobs that fit their skill set and their backgrounds, and that can take a while. And the average person takes about 14 weeks right now to find a job if they're on unemployment insurance, and this would cut that to about 12. And it would mean a lot of people would ultimately get forced out of the labor force, because some people get really depressed after they can't find a job and they're no longer getting income support, and they become pretty desperate. And so our research found a couple of years ago that states that had done this actually had less people working as a consequence of it, or most likely as a consequence of it. And so we're concerned that the legislature is not understanding how this could actually have detrimental effects on both families as well as the state.
Is this something that might go to the voters, or is this something that just awaits the governor's veto stamp again?
Yeah. This one doesn't go to the voters. So this would be one, if it gets to the governor, that we anticipate that she would veto it. So that's essentially what's likely in store for it. And we have, there's very narrow Republican majorities in both the House and the Senate, 31-29 in the House and 16-14 in the Senate. So, right now they've been party line votes, but if there's one, like we worked a lot with David Cook, who's from Gila County, is a Republican. And so, for instance, if he determines that a bill like this hasn't been inadequate, and if he says no, then the bill will die. So that's essentially, what could happen with these bills as well.
All right. Before we let you go, Dr. Wells, are you anticipating a lengthy session here, perhaps into June?
Yeah, I think so, because there's the big thing is the budget. That's the main thing that the legislature works on every year. But this time, so the first time since we had Governor Napolitano, they're dealing with a Democratic governor, and so that the negotiation thing is going to be really interesting and challenging to see how that plays out. I mean, we're anticipating Republicans are going to try. They've already tried to cut the corporate tax rate to 2.5%. We expect that something related to business or corporate taxes will be probably part of the negotiations. And then, the governor has a number of priorities that she's trying to put forward to spend more money. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And I expect, that's going to go till June and hopefully not to July, because we get in trouble when we get to July because the fiscal year ends at the end of June.
All righty, Dr. Dave Wells. Dave, always a pleasure to hear from you, catch up with you. People can find out more about the Grand Canyon Institute at azgci.org, correct?
Yes, I'll take you to the GrandCanyonInstitute.org website. Yes.
Thank you, Dave.
Great. Glad to join you.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, for a great breakfast. Some wonderful pastries. I've kind of got my eye on, I think I'm going to go a little bit different direction this upcoming weekend. I think I'll be going with one of the butter croissants. Seems to be something I'm thinking about a lot. I've been on the cinnamon roll kick, ready to go over now to the croissants. They open Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. The website, monasdanishbakery.com. Coming up next, it is, of course, March Madness time. The madness is underway. Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com is next, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
For more than 20 years, the Window Depot has provided the best price and the biggest inventory on in-stock vinyl windows. And now, the Window Depot is more than a window store, offering homeowners and contractors a one-stop warehouse.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Great time of year to be over at Green Things. Everything's greening up just in time for St. Patrick's Day, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. All your spring gardening needs taken care of are at Green Things. Their website is greenthingsaz.com. They're in their 53rd year of business, open daily. Their sister business, Zocalo Village. Beautiful Talavera pottery, home items, kitchen handcrafted dining room sets in a variety of wonderful woods, including mesquite. ZocaloVillage.com is the website there. Additional support comes from our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Be a great time of year to take a road trip. Only about a three-hour drive to Silver City. You can start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of great recreation ideas and ideas about some great places to stay as well. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. GoAZCats.com staff writer Troy Hutchison. Troy, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I see USA Today took all 16 games that are being played today and kind of rated them on what were the likelihood of upsets. And the University of Arizona versus the Ivy Leaguers, the Princeton Tigers, that game was near the bottom. This is pretty much going to be the big men against a team that moves the ball pretty well, I guess, Princeton. But, of course, they don't have the heavy hitters, do they?
No, you know, it's a very guard-oriented team. A little bit more athletic than what people are used to seeing from Ivy League teams back in the day. It's a very good league with Yale, Princeton, Harvard. Cornell was good this season. But they can shoot the ball, a lot of passing. Not your typical Princeton offense like back then, but they still have a lot of the same fundamentals. They don't turn over the basketball. And they work a shot clock to get a shot up, and they're very efficient at that as well.
How do you rate the U of A's lineup and how they're where they were placed in the tournament? I'm interested in some of your thoughts, Troy.
Yeah, you know, just being in Vegas and watching them capture the Pac-12 title for the tournament there, I thought there was a chance that Arizona might get a 2 seed in the West with UCLA getting a 1 seed. Over Purdue, but at the end of the day, I think injuries played into that, and that's why UCLA stayed as a 2 seed and stayed out west. Arizona goes to the south, and you look at that bracket, I mean, it's a very daunting task. Yeah, Baylor, who's a very physical team that can slow down the tempo of a game and has great athletes. Drew does a great job, Coach Drew there, 20-plus years in the national championship. And then you have Alabama, very athletic, very physical, and they can get up and down the court too. So you have two teams that really stood out to me immediately that could cause some issues for Arizona.
Speaking with Troy Hutchison, staff writer with GoAZCats.com, our friend Steve Rivera pointed out on Facebook a few minutes ago, Steve said, don't get too complacent, Troy. It was 5 years ago today that the University of Buffalo upset Arizona in the first round. And, of course, those of us who have been around, and I know you have, you're a ninth generation Tucsonan. I've been in town 35 years, and, of course, we remember, of course, some of those very memorable one-and-done exits, don't we?
Yeah, you know, the first one that comes to mind is Santa Clara.
Yes,
2 versus 15.
I agree.
And that's the situation right now. I don't know if they have a Steve Nash, but a lot of U of A fans will remember Steve Nash really wasn't the guy that won Santa Clara that game. He was very good, but they had another guard out there that scored the basketball as well. And that's the situation. 2 versus 15 doesn't happen very often, but it's not an easy 1-16 that has only happened once.
How about looking ahead, which maybe we shouldn't, but if Arizona does take care of business, what club will be awaiting the Wildcats?
Right now, I have Utah State awaiting Arizona, but Missouri's playing them very tight. In fact, they're in the lead right now by 5. Missouri's a very athletic team that's been playing well down the stretch of the season. So let's say Missouri moves on. They're a little bit undersized, but they can get out and run. They're a high-scoring team that scores in the mid-80s. They don't turn over the basketball. Their issue is their size. And at the end of the day, that's where Arizona's strength lies.
Can we talk a little bit about the women and their situation with the tournament? Can you give us a quick update on that, Troy?
Yeah, you know, you look at their bracket, they had a rough stretch at the end of the season, losing 3 straight, 1 in the Pac-12 tournament, 2 on the road at the Oregon schools who didn't finish the season well themselves. And you look at the bracket that they got placed in, they're going to be in the College Park Regional, which is going to be Maryland as the 2 seed. And first up for the Wildcats is West Virginia, which is kind of ironic, the whole entire setup, because Esri Martinez was a transfer from West Virginia. She gets to play her former team in the first round. And if Arizona moves on, they're going to be playing Maryland. And Maryland is a very up-tempo team, high scoring. But Coach Freeze over there, she was at Arizona. She played before Joan Bonassini was the head coach at Arizona. So you'll have 2 former Arizona players going at it as coaches in that matchup. Yeah.
Wow. Getting back to March Madness and the men, speaking of Maryland, one of, gosh, I think the big, the Pac, what am I trying to say, Big 10, Big 12, had Maryland almost lost today to Furman.
Furman upset Virginia, and Maryland lost to West Virginia.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Beat West Virginia.
Both of those games were extremely close, right?
Very much so. West Virginia seemed to take control twice in that game, and Maryland was able to battle back in some sloppy offense by the Mountaineers. Allowed Maryland to move on. And then Virginia, they're up by 4 with 13 seconds left and blew it. And they had the ball up by, I think it was 2. And they just threw it across half court trying to get the ball advanced, and easy steal, easy 3-pointer. And, you know, just mayhem. And that's this time of year.
A lot of people have Arizona moving on for a really kind of a big matchup with Alabama. I think that would be in the Elite Eight. Is that kind of the way, Troy, you have it in your bracket?
I do. I have Arizona in the Elite Eight against Alabama. But if and when they match up with Baylor, that is not going to be a cakewalk. That game's really a coin toss. But I gave it to Arizona and the experience up front. But it's really from the Sweet 16 on, it's going to be no easy matchups for the Wildcats.
It is good news for the state of Arizona to have 3 basketball programs in March Madness. You've got Grand Canyon University, the Antelopes, and then ASU. The play-in, I think they call it, game. ASU earned the right to get into the Field of 64. So that's going to be fun to watch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it was almost 4. Northern Arizona almost won their tournament. They were well below 500 this season, but went on a run and then, you know, lost to Montana State. But state of Arizona for college basketball is doing really well right now.
It's interesting that the Grand Canyon University, their equipment didn't make somehow the plane, the flight up to Denver. Some of the team members had to go to a local athletics goods store to buy shoes so they could start practicing.
Yeah, I heard that they got their band equipment, just not the basketball equipment. So, you know, if that doesn't arrive in time, maybe some old street ball shirts versus skins. I don't know. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Okay, Troy, Arizona and Princeton, the tip will be at about 1:10 from Sacramento. Your prediction, Troy Hutchison?
I think Arizona wins this one. The first half's a little close, but Arizona runs away 95-72.
Okay, and where can people find out more about what you and your team do, Troy, at GoAZCats.com?
Yeah, so go ahead and give us a search on Google at GoAZCats.com. It's myself and Matt Moreno as the two really editors of the website. Matt Moreno will be out in Sacramento covering the Cats live. I'll be here doing my thing and getting you all set up for football. But message boards will have a game thread going for the game. And follow us on Twitter, and we'll have live updates throughout the game.
Great time of year. Football spring, the football spring practice has already begun. And have you been out to some of the practice?
Not yet. They only had one, but I am going today. So I will be at practice number two.
All right. Troy Hutchison, we'll catch up with you very soon. Thank you, Troy.
Have a good one.
All right. Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com. Coming up on the Buckmaster Show, Tucson Mayor Rahina Romero will be with me in studio as part of our Sun Corridor, Inc. CEO series. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
It's time for the CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega-regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in an economic impact of more than $3.2 billion, with 195 company locates and expansions, supporting nearly 55,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com.
And joining us for our CEO interview series, our monthly series presented by Sun Corridor Inc., the mayor is here, Madam Mayor Regina Romero. Mayor, good to see you.
Good to see you. It's always wonderful to see you, Bill. And thank you so much for having me on behalf of Sun Corridor and the CEO, as a CEO
yes,
of the city of Tucson.
You are a CEO of a very large organization, and people don't usually think of it that way,
yes.
But it is big. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But this is very serendipitous news for tourism and ultimately economic development. Anytime Tucson, Arizona is named one of the 32
incredible
32 of the world's greatest places in 2023, that news came out today from Time magazine, Time Inc., and it's now called Time.com. But my goodness, I went and looked at some of these 32 places around the world, and I've been fortunate enough to been to some of them, like French Polynesia,
yes,
Tahiti,
incredible.
The Great Pyramids. Come on now,
Saint
Moritz, Switzerland. We're one of five American cities in that 32 places, but that's big news.
It is incredible news.
They call it the soul. Tucson, Arizona
is the soul.
The soul of the Sonoran Desert.
And that's what we are. That's who we are. We shouldn't be surprised that Tucson is part of this list because we have more than 4,500 years of continuous inhabitation in this beautiful Sonoran Desert.
Mm-hmm.
We have art, we have culture, we have a gorgeous environment surrounding us. Our downtown is 15 minutes away from one of those most incredible saguaro forests in the nation, mm-hmm. which is the saguaro National Park, mm-hmm. west mm-hmm. and east. We are just, it is incredible who we are.
And then people come to this town, and a lot of, let's face it, CEOs
yes.
from businesses, not only here in the United States, but we had Felipe Garcia on from Visit Tucson last week, and he was saying, Bill, you'd be surprised how many CEOs of Mexican, very big Mexican companies that come to Tucson, and they have these people, these men and women, have second homes
yes.
here in Tucson. And then Felipe was saying, have you ever thought about bringing your business to Tucson? And some of them say, hey, maybe that's a good idea. We need to look into that.
Well, then they see
this kind of rating.
Yes. And I have been talking about for years, even before I became and was elected mayor, that our geographic location as an American city is an incredible opportunity for Canadian, American, and Mexican companies to headquarter their companies here in Tucson because we are connected to Mexico via rail.
Mm-hmm.
And Mexico is our number one trading partner, only our second biggest partner of the country.
Yeah.
And so, Tucson is rich in history and culture. And let's not even start talking about the city of gastronomy
that's been huge.
And
that's
so CEOs huge. From all over the world, to
yeah.
be honest, and
yeah.
all over this country, as well as Mexico and Canada, come to Tucson because of how gorgeous it is.
And when we implemented Prop 4, let's see, that was 411. I think originally that was passed
411.
By the 411, yeah. Mm-hmm. Passed originally in 2017, and then it was the voters said yes again last year. This is a huge item as well for economic development, because if you've got some people coming to take a look at your city, whether they be CEOs or what they call site selectors to bring conventions here, whatever, and they hit a bunch of potholes, that's going to have maybe a lasting impression.
You hit the nail on the head. I have always believed that one of the most important services that a government can and has a responsibility to deliver to its residents and to its taxpayers is infrastructure.
Right.
Infrastructure, public infrastructure leverages private investment. Mm-hmm. And that's why a perfect example of that is the when we built the streetcar in our downtown. Mm-hmm. That gave our downtown life. Mm-hmm. And since then, it was federal funds that Congressman Grijalva helped bring here, as well as President Obama and Vice President Biden at the time. And RTA funds from the City of Tucson funds that built the streetcar. $4 billion of public and private investment.
Huge investment.
And so most recently, last year, voters voted for Proposition 411 and passed with 73% of the vote.
Overwhelming.
$750 million over the next 10 years, both in rebuilding residential roads, collector streets that connect people to neighborhoods and to arterials, and safety improvements, $150 million in safety for pedestrians and cyclists. And by the way, we are also known as a city in the nation that is a bicycle-friendly city, and it brings so much tourism to our city. So in so many ways, the city of Tucson really shines like a bright star in the Sonoran Desert.
Well, yes. So Prop 411, very big. And I think that's a 10-year program. It extended the half-cent sales tax. And pretty much every street is going to get attention.
Every residential street.
Every residential street. And there are some bad ones.
Yes.
Close to,
Bill, this is an issue that just started yesterday or when I was elected mayor, right? It has taken decades for our streets in our city to decay. And, you know, we've been able to pass either half-cent sales tax or bonds with the support and trust of our residents to invest in ourselves, in our city, most recently. So it is a good thing in terms of infrastructure investment. Of course, it is not perfect. We have to continue striving for the best. That's why I really work hard as the mayor to bring in federal funds to the city of Tucson.
You were back in D.C. for a big meeting with other
U.S. Conference of Mayors.
And you believe that will pay dividends in bringing federal dollars here.
Absolutely. It helps a lot that we have a congressional delegation that is very supportive and believes a lot in the city of Tucson. Former Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, Congressman Grijalva, Senator Kelly and Senator Sinema, other congressional Democrats in the state have been very supportive of me and the city of Tucson, like Congressman Gallego and Congressman Stanton. And I go and visit different departments. When I'm in D.C., I visit departments that I can go and talk about the projects that we have that the federal government can help us fund. And so under my leadership, we've been able to bring $80 million of federal funds to Tucson, either for recreating and redoing the 22nd Street Bridge, investing in zero to no emission buses from the state. Actually, the state of Arizona, ADEQ has granted Tucson $25 million to remediate PFAS. We brought in $6 million or more for Tucson Police Department. We've currently were awarded $1 million to connecting communities, connect pedestrians and cyclists over I-19 to reconnect communities on both sides of the interstate. Infrastructure, public infrastructure, leverages private investment. And so that is my goal as a mayor. We've been very successful, but it really is about the partnership with Suncord or Pima County, Visit Tucson, the city of Tucson, that we do
a
lot of work.
It's got to be regional.
Absolutely.
You've got to have the regional cooperation, don't you?
And we do a lot of work for economic development because infrastructure is part of economic development, as you said. And so just recently we announced that as a region we brought American Battery Factory to Tucson. Mm-hmm. That is going to create 1,000 jobs in the next 5 years, with an average pay of $65,000 a year.
Mm.
And it is projects like those that really, really speak volumes to what working in coalitions can accomplish.
When we continue with Tucson Mayor Rahina Romero, let's talk, Mayor, about ways that affordable housing can create kind of a win for economic development. What is that link between affordable housing, which we hear so much about? People are saying we need more affordable housing. Well, how does that fit in with economic development? We'll address that question as our Sun Corridor, Inc. CEO series, our monthly series, continues with Mayor Rahina Romero right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat.
Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It's Bill Buckmaster continuing now with our monthly Sun Corridor CEO interview series, and a CEO of a very large business in town. That's the city of Tucson. Mayor Rahina Romero joins us. It is a huge employer, isn't it?
Yes, and the city charter, our constitution, basically describes the mayor as the CEO of the organization. And so we employ 4,000 employees and
looking for more, actually.
And looking for more.
Been a real kind of a shortage in some of the departments.
And that's big company
here. The hiring
here.
Sign is out, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And every big company here in Tucson and in the region is looking for good employees, which is a good thing to be.
It's
a good place to be at. So, we add to the economy as well as provide services for our community. And really it is about thinking of aligning myself with other companies in Tucson. That's why I sit at the chairman's circle with Sun Corridor.
Yeah, you do in Sun Corridor. And when there are prospects, maybe some hot prospects, you're more than willing to meet with these people.
Well, my request to our Economic Initiatives office in Tucson Corridor is that they invite me when the CEOs of a company are coming to sightsee.
Yeah.
Here in Tucson, that is one of the reasons why American Battery Factory chose to move into our region and move into Tucson, because I make it very deliberate request that I go welcome them to Tucson and tell them why Tucson is the place for them to relocate and or grow.
Yeah, it makes sense. That kind of personal touch from the mayor. All right. Affordable housing, we hear so much about it. How could that be a win for economic development?
Well, workers need a stable place to call home. And so when we are creating high-wage long-term jobs in Tucson, we have to think about a continuum of housing needs, right? So we are paying attention to our unsheltered by creating our Housing First program. We spend $10 million of American Rescue Plan dollars in purchasing vacant hotels so that we can house people first and immediately, and then wrap around the services of whatever they need so that they can move on to the following step, which is longer-term housing. But we also need to focus on affordable housing for workers, first-time home buyers, which the City of Tucson partnered with the Tucson Association of Realtors and City of Tucson IDA. We created a $1.5 million essential workers fund to help essential workers do down payment assistance. As of now, we've helped more than 80 families purchase their first home. And then, of course, we have to create and be deliberate about creating market rate housing as well as affordable housing opportunities. And so it is a mixed strategy. We created an affordable housing strategy for Tucson. Within the first year that I was mayor, requested it from Housing Community Development. Now we have a business plan as to what we need to do to make housing affordable here in Tucson and help market rate housing move through our processes faster.
And other cities, and I know when you were back at the big meeting with other mayors, they're all struggling with this issue, aren't they?
Yes, it is a nationwide phenomenon in terms of lack of affordable housing, and it started with the inflation with the COVID-19 pandemic,
right,
and the what is it, supply chain issues?
Yeah, supply chain.
And then people were working from home, so people felt that they could move anywhere around the country,
right.
And so people were fighting for available homes, and prices skyrocketed. And so it is something that, thank goodness, that Governor Hobbs is paying attention to, both affordable homes and unsheltered homelessness. And we are seeking to partner with the governor and the state legislature. Hopefully they can try and focus on building affordability, putting more money into the Arizona State Housing Trust Fund and helping cities and towns throughout Arizona create affordable housing. But here in the city of Tucson, we own a lot of property. And we are planning on putting some of that property we own, some spaces, some really key spaces in our community to have mixed income, mixed use, transit-oriented development that looks incredible and be able to afford these opportunities to families in our city.
I didn't realize the city really owns a lot of properties.
We do.
And so this is a potential site for affordable housing.
There are several potential sites for affordable or mixed income, mixed mm-hmm. use development in the city of Tucson. We can partner with private developers to help us build those projects. And right now, as we speak, as a matter of fact, some properties in Menlo Park and Dunbar Spring and Barrio Anita, we partnered with affordable housing developers, nonprofit developers, to build affordability in those neighborhoods. And we don't want to stop there. We want to continue building units. But also equally important, Bill, is creating that market rate housing, right? Mm-hmm. The Flynn downtown mm-hmm. is a project of HSL properties that built, I venture to say, 200 units mm-hmm. in downtown. Mm-hmm. We just broke ground over on the west side with the Dixon Weinstein family. They're doing the Bautista, mm-hmm. Which will be a mixed-use development, creating 600 units wow. of housing on the west side of downtown.
So people are coming back to the downtown area, not just restaurants, but people want to live downtown.
People want to live downtown and creating that density, which we did with the infill incentive district, helps everyone, helps hotels, helps local restaurants, the entertainment world. And really helps people use our transit systems better.
All right, only got about 30 seconds with us. We wrap this up. So you're very bullish on our economic development future.
Yes, absolutely. I am. I have been for a long time since mm-hmm. I was on the council. I was the one that created asked my colleagues on the council and the mayor to create the Economic Initiatives Office, asked my colleagues to create the Primary Jobs Incentive Program, and pushed to create the SEDS, which is our economic development strategy. So bullish, and we'll continue to seek the creation of high-wage long-term jobs in our community.
All right. Thank you, Rahina Romero, Mayor, City of Tucson. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
This has been our Sun Corridor interview series. For more information about Sun Corridor, I invite you to visit their website, suncorridorinc.com. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of the Mayor, Rahina Romero, and Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, saying, I hope you have a great afternoon, and let's hope Arizona Wildcats win their first round game, which will be coming up in a few minutes. Have a great day.